and I could very clearly feel like someone had sat down on the bed next to me.
My one sister, Teresa, come literally floating down the stairs. She never touched those stairs coming down.
One night we went downstairs, we heard a bang like something had fallen. Several doors in the kitchen cabinets were open, like wide open.
But there's very distinct audio on one of the videos that says, open the door. It's a very nasty, demonic sounding voice.
So that is my ghost story.
Hi, and welcome to Haunted AF. This is season 4 of the podcast that's all about real ghost stories told by real people. We are your hosts. I'm Julie Fisk.
I'm Rebecca Black.
Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I can't believe we're finally doing this.
I missed our theme song.
I know. And honestly, I had planned on doing a new theme song this summer, and then I just didn't. But we did get a lot of good stuff that happened this summer. Tell them about the whole Chris Jericho thing.
So finally, it happened. We were on with Chris Jericho of Talk is Jericho. We landed on his podcast. He spent an entire hour with us.
That was amazing.
It was so awesome. And of course, now we're all BFFs with Chris Jericho. And we talk on Twitter and we text each other. And it's been so much fun. And of course, we've gotten a ton of new listeners from that. So thank you guys from Talk is Jericho. Appreciate you guys following us and coming along for the ride for season 4.
Oh, yeah. A whole bunch of new people. We saw a massive bump after the Chris Jericho podcast. And if you haven't listened to that, please go and find it. Probably one of the biggest things that's going to happen to us, you know, for a
like
while.
Ever in life.
Yeah. And so we also started a TikTok page, which kind of blew up. And it's so funny because, you know, my kids were horrified at the fact that we were starting this TikTok page. And then it took off. Like, we have over 15,000 followers right now. One of our videos has had almost 400,000 views.
Wow.
It's kind of bigger than the podcast now. Which is a bit of a bummer, but definitely go and find us because it's kind of different. We're sharing videos that people have sent in. Also, we have new listeners from the Festival of the Unexplained out of the UK, which we just did this past weekend. A real quick hello to a bunch of new Patreon followers or our patrons. We've got Adam, AJ Strange Bruce, Scott Michelle, Mary Asuncio, Becky Turner, Lisa Matanis, Natalie, and Alyssa Long. Thank you guys for supporting us over the summer. I'm sure a lot of them are going to be dumping us now that we're actually posting new content.
Do not say that.
Let's go ahead and just get started. In fact, there was a story that we shared on Patreon over the summer from David that's just amazing. And let's go ahead and kick off with that one. You wrote to us and you said, I have a ghost that follows in my car. I just read your email to Rebecca and she was like, I have so many questions.
Yeah, already.
Yeah, I mean, you ask anything you want. I mean, I've had a couple experiences, but this is the one that really has been bothering me for like the last 3-4 years. I can tell you how it first started. You want me to start?
Yeah, go for it. We're rolling.
Okay. I'm going to keep on working. But anyways.
Wait.
What you're working right now?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm working right now. I'm a truck driver.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Stay on the road.
Can you honk your horn for us?
Yeah.
Yeah!
There you go.
That was awesome.
There you go.
Rebecca, you are a 7-year-old.
I really am. Can I just tell you, the first time I taught my nieces and nephews that if you do the thing out the side of your window and they honk their horn back at you, it was the best day of my life. They loved it.
That is like a special
moment.
It really is, especially
when you get the horn in response to it. It's so exciting.
Okay, so David, tell us your story.
Well, it started out like my buddy, his name was Dennis. We were out of town, and I worked for Brinks Armored Truck Company at the time. So we used to travel from Nashville, Tennessee to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, me and him was like riding buddies. We would ride up there together and save money on gas. And then, like, went out for a couple of drinks, and he's like, hey, you want to feel my ghost?
What?
I'm like, what? I was like, man, get out of here, bro. Quit playing with me. Like, I've seen a couple of ghosts in my life. I'm just like, sure, dude, whatever.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like code for something, too.
Yeah, it does. I know. I thought he was going to, like, try to convince you to do something dirty in the bathroom. It's like the new glory hole or something.
Oh, yeah.
You won't feel my ghost?
Trust me. It gets better.
Okay.
So, like, and here we are. We just went out, had a couple drinks, and, you know, ate dinner, and went back to our hotel room that we were staying at. I stayed in one room. He stayed in the other room. But he's like, all right, come in here. Lay down in the bed. I'm like, dude.
No!
And I was like, dude, I'm not, you're gay, it's cool, whatever, but I'm not like that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get out of this.
Like, I appreciate the offer, like, but seriously, I'm going to back out.
Right.
I'm going to back out of this. And then he said, okay, lay down right here. I said, okay. I lay down. He lay down next to me. And I kind of like gleamed in his eyes, just trying to make like a, like, ooh, yeah. You know, just playing around with him. He goes, he's like, dude, shut up. I kept on laughing and stuff. He goes, all right, just lay here real still. And you could hear it was like a real soft, soft sound of like old-timey kind of music, maybe playing in the background. But it was so soft, you couldn't even like tell who it was. You could just hear little guitar strings here and there. He's like, that's the song that I was telling you about. I said, okay. In the hotel room, you can hear like somebody walking around. You know how like when you're wearing pants and you hear the pant leg squish back and forth?
Yes,
you know, you can hear it walking around. Mm-hmm. And then you could also feel it very softly, like it's patting the edge of the bed all the way from one side of the bed all the way down to your feet, and then all the way down to the other side of the bed. I'm like, dude, what is that? He's like, just keep on. I was like, all right. He said, all right, now face me. Lay on your side and face me. And then we faced each other laying on this side of the bed. And then something about 150 pounds literally sat down very softly on the bed springs, and you can hear the bed springs, little springs go tick, 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 tick.
Oh, I'm no. like,
oh! Scared the crap out of me.
Okay, like, that's it. Wait, keep going. Keep, what happened next?
That's it. I mean, it didn't do anything. It just literally sat there. I said, dude, I got
to
get up.
Is it and like attached like, to him or something?
It's attached to him. It follows him from wherever he's at. He cannot explain it. He's like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't do anything. I was what? Like, well, that's freaking weird, dude. I'm going back in my room.
It almost sounds pleasant, though.
Yeah.
It's like if you just have this little, like, you're not going to be lonely. You've always got this thing.
I think it's crazy that he can basically conjure it up on it just, demand. Yeah. It just shows up whenever he wants to. What a great party trick.
I wonder if it ever spoons, you know? Because that's what I really thought that was coming next.
Yeah, like if he's lonely.
Whenever it, like, it pats around the bed and stuff like that, you can see, like, the sheets will move down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, grab it or pull on it. I mean, it's so soft and it's so crazy. You're like, it's not even scary.
Right. It doesn't sound intimidating in any way. Does he have any idea who it is?
No. He has no idea who it is. Still to this day, don't understand what that was. But the funny thing was, he stopped going out of town. And I kept on going out of town. Well, I brought one of my other buddies. His name's Kevin. Me and him went out of town. And I was riding in the car, and I'm getting close to Columbia, South Carolina. This is like 2-3 weeks later, and this is what keeps on bothering me. At first, I would be driving down the road. I was like, what is moving, making my seat move? And I kind of looked down, and the same way it was doing on the bed, it was doing on the edge of my seats in my car.
Like you could see the imprint in the seat of your car?
You could see the imprint on the seat of your car. It's almost like somebody's like pushing on the back of your seat to like let you know it's there.
Oh my gosh.
And I got freaked out, and my friend Kevin, I'm a Christian, but he's like going to church he's 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all in.
Hardcore religious.
All in, yeah.
Hardcore religious all in. I said, dude, this thing is freaking me out. He looked at it like, no, dude, I ain't got nothing to do with this. I don't want none of this around me. I literally parked the car on the side of the interstate and got out. I'm like, what do I do? Over the couple of years that this has been going on, the more scared I am of it, the more it would do it. I got less afraid of it. I mean, I used to like elbow it, stop, cuss at it. I just wasn't afraid of it anymore. And then when I started doing that, it stopped for a while, and then it would come back. But it never did anything to me.
How many?
But it'd follow me in every car that I was even in, even inside the Brinks truck.
Oh, so even after you went on to a different vehicle, it's still there.
Yes. Something was attached to me, but I never saw it. It is the weirdest experience I've ever had in my life. And I've contacted like people who actually try to, research what's going on in your house. And I wrote them, kind of like I wrote y'all. Mm-hmm. I never heard a word. I'm like, whatever.
Send another email though, because I know they get lots of inquiries, but the first thing I would try is saging.
Yeah, that's always our number one go-to.
And I could almost guarantee now that you're talking about it again, it's going to happen again, just since you mentioned it, you know?
I swear it was like a couple days ago. I thought I felt it, and I was like,
This is going to sound weird, but I almost think, so the story that you told initially with your friend who has the ghost attached to him, if somehow when he showed it to you,
did that open a door?
Yeah, that allows you to now be attached to something. Because it almost sounds ritualistic a little bit, how he's like made you lay down and turn towards him. And
he's used to it. I mean, he knows how it's going to react to whatever he does in a room.
Well, and we've heard lots of stories of this kind of interaction, like the sitting on the bed or the touching or just that manipulation of the environment.
Yeah.
But I've never really heard of it following someone like that or then reattaching. Does your friend still have his experience? Does he still have his ghost?
I haven't talked to him in like the last 6-7 months, but he's like, no, I haven't really had any experiences. So, I mean, it really kind of slowed down. Maybe it was a time in my life when I was partying too much and being a little, I never done drugs, so I know it wasn't just I was hallucinating. I mean,
right. No.
I just like to drink, you know, every few nights.
I don't think that has anything to do with
it. Yeah, like, I think no, I've had plenty of times where I'm just like shit faced drunk, and right. I have not had ghost experience.
No, not so, like this. No.
I don't think that, that those go hand in hand. But I would definitely try saging if it starts bugging you again. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't even care. I'm gonna leave it alone.
He's like, whatever.
Honestly. Hey, seriously,
I'll just live with it for the rest of my life. Yeah.
It really doesn't bother me. Hey, if it's cool, if it's there, I mean, if it's not, whatever.
Well, but
I mean,
it doesn't bother you now. It did at first. So there's definitely something to the fear factor.
Yeah.
It's trying to play on your fear, I think.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, if you could kind of train it and be
oh my God, get me a beer.
Yes.
Oh, it's like, oh.
At least it's got some boundaries.
Right. You know? We can't have it crossing any Me Too lines.
I know. Exactly.
Like, would it be weird if I liked it? I mean, I don't know.
Dude, you wouldn't be the first one. We talked about Ron Artest, the basketball player or whatever,
right.
And he had a ghost encounter, and he just kind of went with it.
Yeah, which would be fine until it like made itself apparent, and you could see it, and it was like all toothy and weird or whatever. And you'd be like, no, go back to being invisible.
You know, and I tell people all this, and honestly, people don't believe me. You know, I don't really care. I know what I experience, you know. I don't need people to believe me, but I would like some answers, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We believe you. We definitely believe you. And honestly, we had at the beginning of season three a whole bunch of truck driver stories, mm-hmm. like ghost stories of things that have happened specifically when guys were on the road, and we did some Googling. And maybe you don't want to do this, but if you Google, like, truck driver ghost stories, there are tons of experiences that are very similar to that. Not so much even inside the truck with you, but on the outside, pounding on the walls, on the doors, and stuff
that.
Don't Google that, Dave.
We don't want to force you down a...
I know. Yeah. You don't need that in your life
now.
Me and Dennis was sitting in the big old Brinks truck. You hear the same song, same little whisper, same little guitar solo, same everything. Crazy.
Do not forget to send your stories, hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. And by the way, we are going to take videos now, yes?
Because again, we have the TikTok page, which is so big. And we just posted a video from Adam from the Working Fans podcast. He posted a video about a ghost that came to him when he was a little boy, when he was living in an abusive household. We post that on TikTok and all these people start commenting to him and all these loving messages. So definitely send your videos, send your audio, send the written emails, hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. I feel like we need to have a new section, the buzzkill section, where people call in and disprove. Yes, exactly. We need like the Debbie Downer. So many people shot down the Stanley Hotel closing door video that we posted. We also got this one that came from Tim. He says, sadly, I've noticed that some of the EVPs you've were given are not real. The Lizzie Borden EVPs you got from Danny are fake. I'm not calling her a liar, but I think she was trying to protect her brand. Being from the area, the EVPs are missing something glaring to me. They don't have the local accent. The R sound is crisp and clear in all of them. You know, the whole Pac, the Ka, and Hobbit Yacht thing.
And Corn of the Cob and Clam Chowder.
Yes. He says, I believe why they were so clear is because she and the person she's with are doing the speaking. Sorry, my first message is a buzzkill, but I love the show and I can't wait to get caught all the way up. That had never even occurred to me.
No, didn't even cross my mind. But here's the thing. Okay, maybe it isn't from the actual house. Maybe it's something that Danny has attached to her.
Exactly.
Maybe it's something that's following her, and that's why there isn't an accent. Also, Tim, I'm going to need a resume. What do you do for a living? I need you to, like, I don't know. Are you a ghost disprover or something? I need you to back that up.
Okay, so this next story comes from Joe, and Joe has an amazing story that she shared with us on Patreon that we will be sharing a little bit later in the season, but I thought you would appreciate this one.
Hey, Julie and Rebecca. I hope you guys are well. It's Joe. When I got married, I actually spent two evenings at the most haunted pub in York. It's a very oldie-worldy city in England, and it's famous for its cobbled roads and its ancient history, and it's also famous for its most haunted pub in England, and it's called the Golden Fleece. So I decided to get my girls together, and we were all ordered to wear our best haunted outfit. I went as the ghost bride, obviously, and then we spent a few days in this pub, which was
terrifying. It's really ancient anyway. I think it dates back to the 1500s, and it feels like it's lopsided. Well, it is lopsided. So the rooms are all at an angle. So even when you're lying in bed, you're lying sort of half out of bed. You can't really put a cup on any of the side tables because they all slope. Not a massive amount happened to me personally while we were there, but one of the girls that went had a terrifying moment in the night. They'd heard like a trolley going through the room at about 2 or 3 in the morning, and there was literally nobody there, but they could hear like the trolley wheels. But what was weird for me particularly was actually when we came home. I remember telling my husband-to-be, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't really see much. It was really creepy. And then I said, oh, I'm going to go and have a bath. I went upstairs, ran the bath, lay in the bath, and the shampoo bottle moved all the way across the shelf by itself from one end to the other. And I could physically see it lift and hover and move all the way across and then place back down again. I kid you not, I left that bathroom so fast. Trying to explain that to my husband, who is a complete non-believer of ghosts, was traumatic in itself. He was like, well, you shouldn't have gone to a haunted house. Look what it's done to you. But I know what I saw. And actually, when we got the photos back, there were some incredible pictures where there was huge orbs in front of us. But I will send you one of those pictures so you can have a look. Lots of love. Love the podcast. And I am a super fan. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Joe. So a couple of things. First, Google Golden Fleece.
Okay.
In York. The pictures of this place are incredible. And you can tell that it's sloping from the outside because even the windows are kind of leaning a little bit.
I'm like, how fun. It's kind of like a fun house already.
Once they start letting American people leave
back
America.
Back over. Back across the pond.
We're not spreading cooties everywhere. Like, we've got to go because these pictures were just incredible. Okay, so next we need to talk about the ghost baby photo that we shared everywhere this past week. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all of them. We had this photo. It looks like a kid, a toddler, walking in a doorway.
Yeah, Bobby said they were living, he was living with his sister in some Washington County, Pennsylvania public housing. He says, after installing the new floor for my sister, I started taking pics with this cheap $100 digital camera. My sister has 2 children, a girl and a boy, but they weren't in the room at the time of the photo. Bobby and his sister would hear kids playing in the halls all the time, though, especially at night when the kids were asleep.
Yikes.
Bobby says, my sister would always buy new binkies for my nephew because they would go missing. There was a field behind their building where I would take walks when I was on my phone. Usually after 8 to 12 binkies would go missing, I would find them in the same place in the middle of this field, placed in a neat pile. To this day, my nephew has never been in that field. As he got older, my sister started trying to get him to give up the binky. We tried so many things and finally decided to tie a bunch of balloons to his binky so it could go be with the ghost baby. Well, that's kind of sweet, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Which is what we started calling the figure in the pic. There wasn't a cloud in the sky when my nephew let the binky and balloons go, but they blew right into a tree too high off the ground for any of us to reach. Later that night, I got a phone call and made my way to the field out back where I could see in the moonlight reflecting off of something in the field. There were the balloons all still tied to my nephew's binky.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That mental image of walking out into the field and seeing the moonlight kind of shining off of a bunch of balloons.
Yes.
I know. That's just like a little too close to it for comfort.
And there's no freaking way that a baby with binkies is going to make his way out into the middle of the field and neatly place them there.
Yeah, and a little pile. Okay, Rebecca, you know what time it is.
What would you do if your pet died on you and it came back to tell you hello? Would you run away or would you choose to stay? It's your dead pet of the week.
Wait for it.
It's your dead pet of the week.
That was amazing.
And we've been getting lots of Dead Pet of the Week theme songs. So please keep sending them. They are fantastic. That was Adam's.
That wasn't just a theme song. He wrote an entire chorus.
And forgive me because that will be stuck in your head now. It's really
yeah,
weird.
Totally.
In a little while, you'll be like, what would you do? All right, so the story comes from Gina. She says, we had to put our family cat named Sunny down in February of this year. She was older and enjoyed spending time in our basement. She was very vocal and always greeted you with a loud meow. Oh God, I've had cats like that. After she passed, I kept thinking I would hear a meow coming from the basement. I would also see a small shadow in the corner of my eye when doing laundry down there. A few months went on and somehow I got into the conversation of hearing things with my family. My mother goes, I don't know, but sometimes I still hear the cat meowing. And my father immediately chimes in with, I hear her all the time. I thought it was all just in my head. Maybe it is in our heads, but it's still nice to hear her. She has a distinct meow and we miss her very much.
Aww. Oh, that is so sweet.
That is sweet. Okay, here's another one. And this person wants to remain anonymous.
Okay, so when I was about 19 years old, I was working at my local county jail. I was working night shift and somebody had committed suicide in the jail. People used to say that, you know, he haunted the place and everything. Well, some nights I would go into the pod where he had committed suicide, and I would see faces in some of the cells that nobody was staying in. But one night, I was up in the tower, which is the station where we watch all the inmates while they're just in the day room area. But it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, so everybody was up in their cells. And, you know, we have a rec yard at the jail. And the button for the inmates to page us, they have buttons in all their rooms for them to page us. But the single button that was in the rec yard went off. Nobody should have been in the rec yard. So I radio, you know, one of the people on shift, and I say, hey, will you go check the rec yard because the buzzer's going off? And I click in to the rec yard, and I can hear breathing. Like, just as clear as day, I can hear, like, somebody is right up to the speaker and, like, is breathing into it. And it's completely scary. And I'm like, will you please come check the rec yard? I truly believe somebody is in there. And as soon as I say that over the radio, a hand smacks the window of the tower. A person cannot touch that window from the ground. It's, like, at least 10 feet up. And, I mean, it smacks that window as hard. And, I mean, it shakes the whole tower. And it scares me to death. I had about 2 more hours. I had to sit up there in that tower and wait to be relieved. But, yeah, that was the scariest experience I've ever had in my life.
Dear Lord, the haunted prisons. I can't handle it.
I know. And we've got another, like, creepy prison story coming up soon.
Oh. All right. So this story comes from Scott. And he says, I'm originally from Ohio, and this took place at my friend's house when we were about 10 or 11 years old. I'm 51 now, and the fact that I can still remember it tells you the impact it had on me. I had gone over to my friend's house and we were playing in the basement like we did so many times before. We were typical boys and playing rather loudly with a tricycle and a big wheel. For some reason, we were just backing up and ramming them into the wall of the basement and yelling, laughing, typical boy stuff.
What
always
angle.
Crashing cars, right?
Yeah.
We were getting louder and louder, then all of a sudden I heard clear as a bell the deepest guttural voice yell, stop! It was so loud, I completely froze and tried to process what just happened. I looked at my friend Matt, and he was frozen too. We looked at each other like, did you just hear that too? We'd immediately ran upstairs to find the source, assuming that it was my friend's dad. Here's the problem, though. Not only was his dad not at the top of the stairs, he was outside mowing the lawn, which meant there was no possible way it could have come from him. Ooh. We both confirmed we heard the exact same word, dog, in the same demonic voice. We were done playing in that basement, and lucky we didn't have to change our shorts. That's always the go-to. I can still hear the voice, and even though I can imitate it now, I never want to hear it again.
We've gotten so many of these where the kids are acting like assholes, and there's some voice that jumps in that's like, oh my God, will you please? Like, you're being so obnoxious that the dead is rising to tell you to shut up. So this next story comes from Nat in Australia.
Hi there, Haunted AF crew. This is Nat from Australia. I wanted to let you know my story that happened to me in Tasmania. There's a place in Tasmania that's a former penal colony, which is a jail, basically, for convicts that were sent out here from England. And it was a pretty horrible place, and they had a lot of like really yucky things happen there. But my mum and I went there and we just wanted to look at the nice old buildings, and it's like a natural sort of amphitheatre, and it's surrounded by beautiful Australian bush and goes down to the water. It's this gorgeous place. Anyway, we went there and we spent a day sort of looking at everything, and then we were staying in hostels. So we stayed in this old house. This is actually on the Port Arthur property. It's sort of painted yellow. It's quite cheerful, and you know, there's some other backpacker people around, and mum and I were kind of excited about our cute little room, which was upstairs in an attic, which sounds super spooky in retrospect, but it wasn't really at the time. We weren't really interested in the ghost tours or anything, so we went to bed, and then it was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. In the middle of the night, I woke up with a start and I couldn't move my body. And it really freaked me out. So the first thing you go to do is scream. But I couldn't scream either. I couldn't make any noise to tell my mum. I could see her. My eyes could roll to the other side of the room and see her with her back to me sleeping in this little attic room in the dark. And then I had this like terrible sensation that somebody was coming up the stairs, and I couldn't see anything, but I could feel that somebody was coming. Then I got this horrible sensation that somebody really angry was in the room, and I started sinking down into the bed. It pushed me down and down into the bed until I was in complete darkness. But looking up, I could see a tiny little bit of light where the room was that I was in. So it was sort of inside the bed, which sounds pretty crazy. But, you know, when you experience this, there's no way to explain this to anybody. And I felt like that entity had pushed me down there, and this had never happened in my life before, and I had never experienced it again since, so it's pretty strange. While I was down there in the dark, I was really scared. I was like, what's happening to me? This is really crazy. So I looked at the little bit of light and I thought, well, at least there's still that little bit of light. And then I started to sort of rise up towards that light again. Then I was back in my body on the bed, and I was started to be able to move a little bit, and I lay there and I was just terrified. And then I felt really embarrassed because I can't wake up my mom. Like, this is really weird and crazy. And I lay there for like hours because I was so scared, and I was like, I'm no way I'm going to go to sleep again just in case that happens again. And then I heard the first bird in the morning. I heard this like, not really like a crow. And I was like, oh, thank goodness, like the world is still there. There's going to be a morning, because I was so terrified. Anyway, so apparently the old hag or the crushing ghost or whatever is folklore across the world, has its own name, because afterwards I had to try and do some research to work out what the flip had just happened to me. And I found out that this is really common across the world, even though I didn't know anything about it. And it's never happened to me again, thank goodness. While I was researching, I found this really old video of a TV show where a guy was interviewed, and he was a builder, and he'd been put up by his building company in this place, and he'd had the exact same thing happen to me. It was amazing. I loved it. Seeing that, I was like, oh, thank goodness I'm not crazy.
First of all, her whole description reminds me of this.
Now you're in the sunken place.
Doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like that?
Yes! I was thinking the exact same thing.
Because when she talks about seeing that tiny bit of light, it just sounds like that scene from Get Out. So a couple of things. First of all, so Nat is talking about Port Arthur in Australia, and that is actually where that huge shooting happened in the 90s that caused all the big sweeping changes. And when Nat wrote, she was like, that's such a horrible part of our history. I hate to even mention it. So she's like, so I'll leave that up to you if you want to mention it. Nat stayed in a place called Roseview House. And when you Google Roseview House, that is another place that is famously haunted. So she's not alone. There have been so many experiences in this one place. We'll also share a link to Port Arthur, because there's this one where it's like drone footage going by the old penal colony. And it's an amazing piece of history.
So I am curious, though, would you classify that at all as a sleep paralysis story? I mean, I've never heard anything that extreme when it comes to sleep paralysis.
I don't know. And we've talked about this before. So many strange experiences are explained away as sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. I think most people can tell the difference between a dream state and a sleep state. And even right. that state where you're kind of awake and not totally awake, where you're kind mm-hmm. of questioning things, I think we can all tell the difference. But when you have an experience that extreme that sticks with you yes. for the rest of your life and it never happens anyplace else, I don't really think that that was sleep paralysis. Especially.
I don't think so either. I mean, the fact that she's being pushed down so far into something that is like maybe a different dimension or something.
Yeah, it sounds a little like sleep paralysis by definition, but there's too right. much going on there. All right, agreed. So this next email comes from Cody Reyes. He says, I'm a comedian and aspiring writer, but I have no jokes on this subject. It scared me so badly simply because there is no explanation for it. It was November of 2001 and I was 12 years old. I lived in Dallas, Texas. Uh-oh, that's where we are.
Okay, we can maybe go investigate this place then.
I don't know. He says, it was my first year in Boy Scouts after graduating Cub Scouts, and the campouts had less adult supervision. This one in particular was the War Games campout, themed around an all-day game of Capture the Flag. I remember it being about an hour outside of the city on some guy's land. Imagine a thick forest with 100 yards of no trees going down the middle, cutting it in half. One side of the trees was where we camped, and in the middle was where we assembled. And the other side we left alone because it was too far away from the camps. One day, I crossed over to the other side because I had to go number two and I didn't want anyone walking up on me.
There was Of course not.
He says, no, there was no bathroom. I went about 20 feet into the tree line and found the perfect log to sit over with a branch to hold on to. So while I'm doing my business, I noticed a shadow under the nearby ferns moving forward. But when I stared straight at it, it stopped moving. I was sure it was one of the older kids trying to embarrass me, so I stared at it a little harder. Then it started moving again while I was looking at it. Honestly, it looked like a guy in a black morph suit crawling like a panther towards me. I wiped as fast as I could.
Thank God he wiped.
By the time I got my pants up, it was about 5 yards away from me, and I still couldn't make out anything but blackness. Mind you, this was in the middle of a partly cloudy day, about 3 p.m. Everything was visible. I started running and then turned for a second and I saw it rise like a guy standing up. I swear it was partially see-through, especially the outer edges. But that's the part of my memory I question. Could it be my mind playing tricks on me or some kind of Mandela effect? By the way, a Mandela effect is a false memory. And if you want to go down a wild rabbit hole, Google Mandela effect. So anyhow, he says, I told the guys in my squad and they said it was a boar, which I knew was BS because it didn't look like a boar and they don't stalk their prey. I've talked to several people about this and came up with two fair conclusions. It was either what some would identify as a demon or an evil spirit, or it was just a guy in a black morph suit trying to scare a kid with his pants down. Both are very disturbing to me. And morph suits yes! weren't easy to come by in 2000, and especially in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
Okay, if it's the guy in the morph suit. That is almost more terrifying than any other ghostly like type experience ever, because that's a real dude who could really hurt you while wearing a morph suit.
I know. And morph suits are inherently terrifying anyhow.
Yes.
Oh my God. Don't you just see some guy putting one on and he's like, I am the knight, like hiding. And
just waiting for little campers to come out.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no good ending to that one. So
no, there's not.
Glad you got away, Cody.
All right, guys. Don't forget, send your stories to us. We need them. We always need them. HauntedAFPodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's HauntedAFPodcast@gmail.com. And remember, we're doing some new cool things. We're taking written, we're taking audio and video now. So yes. Send your videos.
And tune in next week when we'll hear stories about a beautiful woman who haunts a prison. We'll share a story from the Spooky Science Sisters podcast, and we'll hear more about those goddamn haunted dolls. Why are people still buying those things?
No.
That's all coming up on the next Haunted AF. All right, guys, don't forget to subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever your platform is that you love listening to. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, or you can chat with us directly on our brand new website, hauntedaf.com. Gotta say thanks to Andrew Mamaliga for our theme song and to On Air Media for titles and technical support. And of course, we gotta thank you, the listeners. Thanks for listening. By the way, Julie, if I die first, I'm coming back to haunt you. Aw, I'll come back to haunt you too, Rebecca. Aw.